explain how why the corporation's seeds, like why they can't survive climate change? What it is that makes them more dependent and not, you know, not strong?
Well, ever since the Green Revolution, you know, there's all these technologies that came out, and it's interesting that all these technologies that came out for agriculture were actually a result of technologies that came out of war. You know, the pesticides were chemical agents that they were experimenting with, nerve gas, you know, to destroy the enemy. You know, the herbicides, you know, derivatives of Agent Orange and napalm, you know, the chemical fertilizers, you know, the same thing. All of these were like military type of technologies. And then all the machinery, you know, the Industrial Revolution, you know, there's hardly a difference between a tank and a tractor. You know, one is war against people and the other one is war against the land, so to speak. You know, but those technologies translated directly over to our food system. So you look at the food system now, and the farmers, you know, earlier I commented I consider myself more of an artist than a farmer or a gardener. You know, but these farmers, you know, they know how much acreage they have, how many seeds they're planting per acre, how much fertilizer they're putting per acre, how many gallons of pesticides, how many gallons of herbicides. That whole environment is a contained and not a contained, but that whole environment is a controlled environment with all of these inputs. All of these inputs are coming from external sources, which are directly related to this whole industry, right? So they're, you know, they're scratching each other's back. But the thing is all of those resources that are required to maintain the agricultural system are dependent on fossil fuels and transportation. So that right there is telling you, oh, well, that's the problem with climate change, you know, is we're running out of fossil fuels and the fossil fuels are ending up in the atmosphere and creating, you know, CO2 buildup and all of this stuff. So that agricultural system that depends on all of those chemicals, it's almost like it's creating its ecosystem. Its ecosystem is the substrate, which is the soil, is, you know, so many pounds of nitrogen, fertilizer per acre, you know, no weeds because there's herbicides, no pests, so-called pests, because there's pesticides, you know, no viruses or fungi because, you know, there's fungicides applied, you know, and the whole thing is contained and managed by machines, even by satellite in some cases. You know, there's not even farmers driving out there. You know, there's satellites that are watching the whole system. So, you know, they're assuming that they're going to be able to maintain all of those resources, all of those inputs for that closed system. Well, and it's not a closed system, but they think they're going to be able to maintain all the resources to maintain that system, inevitably. You know, and they're talking about ethanol, and that's all the same stuff. You know, ethanol still requires chemical fertilizer, still requires, you know, pesticides, still requires fungicide, you know, still requires all this industrial machinery. All that is on fossil fuels, relies on fossil fuel. So what happens when Mother Earth plays her card? She has the ace. You know, what happens when you have every variable controlled in your agricultural system except the climate? There's not a technology out there that's going to stop a tornado, that's going to stop hailstorm, that's going to stop a heat wave, that's going to stop a drought. You know, and they're talking about cloud seeding and all this stuff, but this is already entering the realm of idiocy and ridiculousness, the way these people are thinking. These people really got to snap, because that's what's going to happen. Mark my words, what's going to happen in the Midwest is you're going to see something happen that's related to climate change, and they're going to argue, well, it's not climate change. Oh, it is climate change. It's not climate change. They're going to argue about whether it's climate change or which is within the natural realms, regardless of what the data say. There's going to be people who are going to challenge it. But something's going to happen, one of those things, hailstorm, you know, heat wave, drought, windstorm, And they're not going to be able to adapt to that. The only way that those kinds of things can be adapted to is to have a seed that's smart. Like native seeds that say, oh, drought. Okay, well, half of us aren't going to make it. But half of us, remember, there was a drought in 1880. There was a drought in 1650. Those seeds, remember, you know, the seeds out in the field around here, remember those kinds of things. Oh, hailstorms. Okay, we've seen hailstorms every year. We know that. You know, our grandchildren had, you know, our ancestors had all of these problems. But with this industrial food system, not only is the environment completely controlled and technological and dependent on fossil fuels and dependent on transportation and dependent on all these chemical refineries and all of that stuff, but the seeds themselves don't have a memory of a particular landscape, of a particular cultivation method, of a particular environment. All those seeds have a memory of is being manipulated in the lab. You know, that they were F1 hybrids. You know, they were inbred for generation upon generation so they could produce a hybrid so that they can then be genetically engineered. That's all those seeds know. There is no way they're going to stand against what's coming. You know, every seed in a traditional or a native so-called organic, not even an organic system, but every seed in a traditional or native-based agricultural system is an individual who has a memory of some of all of the environmental factors in the past. I mean, when you're talking about corn, it goes all the way to Mexico. You know, it's likely the corn has a memory of being in Hopi country where there's no water, where it's a hyper desert, because that's the way the corn got over here. And but this other way of them doing this industrial food system, you know, it's like a big Jenga block. And all that needs to be is pulled out one block, which is, you know, freeze in the middle of July. Oh, that's impossible. A freeze in the middle of July? Hey, try climate change on. You know, we just had a freeze a couple days ago out here. That's unheard of. You know, for it to freeze in the middle of June. You know, when's the last time that has happened? Hardly ever. But we're going to be seeing things like that. And can these crops adapt? And can our agricultural system adapt? Because it's, you know, if I keep farming the way I'm farming, it's not going to work. I'll tell you that right now. Because I just saw what that frost did. And if that frost was a little bit harder, I would have lost everything. But there's ways to avert that. But it relies on what I do as a farmer, as an artist, as an innovator, as someone with ideas and imagination. See, right now the industrial food system is fed a package. These are the machines you use. These are the chemicals you use. These are the seeds you use. And you're going to produce this much. And we're going to pay you this much. Okay, but pretty soon that environmental variable, the climate change variable, is going to max out. And there is no way that industrial food system is going to adapt. It can't. And so that's when the famines are going to begin. In the cities primarily. And around here, who knows, you know, what's going to happen. I say right now, we have a lot of land. We have enough water. We don't have enough seed. That's what I'm working on, is growing out seed and getting seed out to people and trying to inspire more local agriculture for seed production, because that's the only thing that's going to pull us through. And if you think you got another idea about how we're going to pull through, I'll tell you right now, that's a short-term solution. The long-term solution is to maintain the relationship with the plants, with the lands, to adapt, to pay attention, to adjust, you know, to select your strongest, your best seed, you know, and keep going. And that is the only way humanity is going to survive this. And that's my strong opinion. And I'll debate anybody. Let's debate. Let's talk about it. If you're not taking care of the basics, which is food and water, and then fuel for the winter, forget it, man. Solar panels ain't going to save you. You know? None of that's going to save you. The only thing that can save us, I think, is to have these seeds and to cherish them as our most honored members of our family. because they're the reason our family is going to continue. And we used to think like that, and now we don't, because we think, you know, that the corporations are going to take care of it, the stores are always going to have food on the shelves. And I tell you, those days are numbered. They're not going to adapt to what's coming. I don't see it happening. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope there's a line outside of my door and people saying, you know, in 50 years, you were a freaked out guy back then. You had it all wrong. You know, and I'll say, right on. I'm glad. I'm glad all the corporations figured it out. I'm glad, you know, we reversed climate change and now we can have a barbecue. That's great. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think this thing is just going to slap us out of nowhere. And there's warnings. There's all kinds of warnings now. We're being warned. Wake up. Open your eyes. And if you don't see the warnings, you know, then you're going to be slapped the hardest. You know, I'm expecting a slapping. I'm expecting a spanking, as a lot of people are who are preparing for this thing, you know. But most people aren't. And there comes a point where we're going to say, okay, do we spend our energy trying to convince the bureaucrats, the politicians, the economists, and all of these people and get them to change the system? Or do we just take care of the business that needs to be done? Because there's only so many hours in a day. And I think it's the latter. We need to start taking care of business. We need to lead by setting the example. And then these other people can see and they can come and get it and they can come learn about it and they can adapt to themselves, you know. But I don't think the structure as a whole is going to be able to maintain. It's not going to be able to withstand, you know. We've seen tsunamis. We've seen volcanoes. We've seen we've had a small taste of what the Mother Earth can do, evidence of ice age. You know, so let us not be surprised when she throws this whole Western civilization on its head.
Can you explain